Coming soon to own on video and DVD.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen. Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for.
Hey, it's not mouthwash. You want some?
And Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit.
Did you know someone shit in our dumpster?
Huntsville Home Video, now playing.
The following movie has been rated PG-13 by the Motion Picture Association of America.
You walk into Huntsville Home Video a bit indecisive. You don't know what kind of movie you want to watch. Do you want to watch, I don't know, maybe an Indiana Jones film, a Conan film, maybe Treasure of the Sierra Madre, something a little bit comedic, something a bit action-packed. You can't decide, so the kindly clerk at Huntsville Home Video directs you to a movie that has them all, UHF. Mm. Welcome to Huntsville Home Video, my friends. My name is Jack Spade, a dude that has seen way too many movies, introducing my friend Leanne to movies that she has never seen.
Yeah.
And today we're going to be talking about UHF.
Woohoo!
Weird Al Yankovic. Man, that dude is a legend. I celebrate that man's entire career.
Do you really?
I love Weird Al.
I didn't know you were that into Weird Al.
I'm a super big Weird Al fan.
Okay.
Been since I was a kid. In fact, Weird Al was the second concert I ever saw in the days of my youth. I think 1991,
okay.
I saw Weird Al.
I was after 1 year old.
You were one. Yeah. Still drooling all over yourself.
Yep.
You know, hadn't even found your first dinosaur bone yet.
Nope.
Yeah, big Weird Al fan. I love his music. And then when I was 10 when this movie came out, when they announced that they were making a movie with Weird Al, my 10-year-old brain popped. I was like, oh my God, life is never going to get any better than a Weird Al movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's intense.
You want to talk about intense before we get into the movie? I will tell you about the first time I saw UHF.
Okay.
So back in the day, I don't think they, well, obviously they don't do this now because movie theaters basically don't exist
right.
anymore. But back when they used to do double features where they would show a new movie, and then like, hey, here's a sneak preview of another flick. Do you remember? Did you ever have experiences like that?
I don't remember doing a double feature. No.
So back in my hometown, they used to do this quite a bit, and they did this where if you went to go see one movie, you got to stay for UHF. So the movie that we had to pay for to see was the Jerry Lee Lewis biopic "Great Balls of Fire" with Dennis Quaid. A movie I'm sure you've never seen.
I've seen it.
Have you really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Winona Ryder was the cousin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Alec Baldwin was the preacher, his cousin.
Every now and again, you throw me off, Lily.
Don't thank God. Thank Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah. All right.
Boom. I got one.
All right. You got one. So
no Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, but by goodness, I saw that movie.
Well played. Oh, okay. That one threw me off for a little bit. All right.
Yes!
So, yeah, you paid to see that, and then you got to stick around for UHF.
Did you like Great Balls of Fire?
Yeah. I mean, I had to watch it again years later because I was 10 and I wanted to see UHF, and I had to sit through that movie first.
Right.
And I was like, I don't care about this cousin fucker. I want to see UHF. So me and a buddy, my 10-year-old buddy Bobby, we got dropped off at the movie theater.
My you could parents, do that back then.
You could do that back in the day. And UHF was not, it didn't end up being a huge hit.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently 1990 or 89, whatever, you know, 1989, apparently a lot of people in Fargo, North Dakota didn't really care about going to see a Great Balls of Fire movie either. Because there were about four other people in this movie theater. Two of which were two possibly homeless, wildly intoxicated gentlemen who were sitting down. I was always one of those front row movie theater sitters for a while.
Really?
This was before they made theaters where the seats were like right up to the screen.
Okay.
So they actually brought it back a little bit. So me and my buddy were sitting down front, and then halfway through Great Balls of Fire, We just hear like some commotion, some stumbling, the sound of a bottle that drops and then rolls down a movie theater floor. And these two drunk gentlemen just sit down in the front row, probably like 10 seats away from us. And so 10-year-old me and my buddy were like, what's happening here? We're a little nervous. And then within minutes of them sitting down, I just hear, hey, guys. And we kind of look over, and the dude is shaking a bottle of Listerine at us.
No.
And he goes, hey, it's not mouthwash. You want some?
Oh, God. What's happening?
Yeah. We're like, no. And then just sat and looked straight ahead and tried to ignore them for the rest of Great Balls of Fire. Thankfully, we did not take any of their not Listerine.
Oh, my God.
And they left about 2 minutes into UHF. The movie starts up, and we'll get into it here in a second. But, like, after that first bit, the one of the guys goes, oh, this is going to be dumb. And then just leaves. They both left, presumably to either go to another movie and offer minors alcohol,
right,
or to just pass out in the back of the theater and die.
My God, that's great.
Yeah.
It's not Listerine.
It's not Listerine.
I want to be that for Halloween.
Like, you want to be that guy?
It's not Listerine.
Just go up to random trick-or-treaters. Yeah. Hey, it's not Listerine. Yeah. See how well that goes for you in 2021.
Oh, that's great.
So there was my theatrical first experience with UHF. And now we will start the podcast off as we often do when we get into the movie discussion. How did you like UHF?
I thought it was cute. I liked it.
Awesome.
I enjoyed it.
Very good.
I'm not that huge of a fan of Weird Al. I feel like he just wasn't part of my growing up.
Yeah.
Like maybe he wasn't as big then, or I just didn't pay him enough attention, but I enjoyed the movie.
Weird Al to me is a fascinating piece of pop culture,
right?
Because he has remained relevant for his entire career. Because essentially, he's a parody master. You know,
right.
he parodies the best songs. So, like in the '80s when he first kind of came around, he was doing parody of some of the best music at that time, which is now very iconic music. Madonna, Michael Jackson, you know, all of the popular rock songs. Like he was doing parodies of those. And kind of latched on to that relevancy,
right?
And then just rode that wave for almost 40 years.
Yeah. Mine, when I was growing up, well, I remember Amish Paradise, and then the big one when I was a kid was White and Nerdy.
Yeah.
Which I think I've mentioned before.
Yep, yeah, we talked about that.
That was my jam, because I was like, hey, I'm White and Nerdy.
Right.
Let's do this.
He had a song that parodied, remember All About the Benjamins?
Yes.
He did All About the Pentiums. It was like about computers. So good.
That's great.
I love a good Weird Al parody. And I think I mentioned this too on a previous podcast where I know the parody version more than I know the regular version of most of his songs. Which, again, a testament to that man's career. And so, again, in 1989, like a huge fan. And when they announced, oh, here comes the Weird Al movie, sign me the fuck up. And we got into it right away. Like, again, watching this movie, 10 years old, having just been offered some, like, not Listerine. First thing we get into this movie, oh, shit, this looks like Indiana Jones.
Yeah, it was Indiana Jones. And he's searching through the wilderness, and he's got that scowl, you know, like, which was really great. And he's got his guides going through, and the guy pulls a gun on him. And he does the whip thing, but he tears the guy's arm off, which was hilarious. So it is Indiana Jones. They go through the cave, except the jewel that they're looking for
Oscar. Not the fertility idol.
No, it's the Oscar that they're looking for.
Something that has eluded Weird Al.
Right.
Unfortunately.
And the symbol, I love the symbol of death when the guide's like, no, you can't go any further. And he runs out of the cave and he gets hit by the train, which was fantastic. So he finds the Oscar, he grabs it, he runs through the temple and the rock, it rolls after him through all these different scenes and stuff, which was really great. Is that from something?
I remember
that happening in cartoons, like when they would be running and they would change the scenery, but I didn't know if that was from something I missed.
It's just expanding upon the, you know, right. The Indiana Jones boulder scene. Now, okay. Instead of just like getting out of the temple, now he keeps running.
That's right, boulder. That's what I was looking for, not rock. I was like, it's a big rock.
Words are tough.
Words are tough.
For us radio people.
So he's going through, and the boulder rolls on top of him, and then it cuts to him. He was daydreaming.
Yes. Fun side fact, so when this movie was coming out, they were getting ready to release Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
What number was that?
That was number three.
That was number three.
Sadly, you have not seen that
nope.
one. Or Temple of Doom.
Which was the first one?
That was the second
Raiders
one.
Raiders of the Lost Ark
was the first one.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you said you saw that one?
I saw that one.
Okay. So the studio, when they were marketing UHF, mm-hmm. the first trailer was pretty much just that opening scene. And their thought process behind it was like, oh, we're going to trick people to make them think this is Last Crusade because that's coming out. Oh, it's UHF. It's
a
weird
funny.
Owl movie. Yeah.
That's a risky thing to do. To risk people getting pissed off.
Well, and also what happened is very shortly after that trailer came out, the movie studio behind UHF went bankrupt. So that was pretty much the beginning and end of the UHF marketing campaign. So yeah, the movie didn't do well in theaters. It didn't really have a lot of marketing behind it. It mm-hmm. went on years later to become a cult classic and make a ton of money.
Gotcha.
But yeah, we get introduced to George Newman.
George Newman.
Who is daydreaming. He is working at Big Edna's Burgers with his buddy Bob.
Never mind. That's who I want to be for Halloween is Big Edna.
You want to be Big Edna?
Can I be Big Edna?
Yeah, all right.
And you can be Weird Al.
I'll be George Newman?
You can be George Newman.
All right. Now we just need to find his buddy Bob, his best friend in the movie.
We need a Bob. We'll be taking applications
yep.
for Bob.
The actor who is unfortunately named David Bowie.
Uh-huh.
Spelled Bowe.
Okay.
So if you go to iTunes and look up UHF on the cast mm-hmm. list, it says David Bowie, but has a picture of David Bowie. Like someone at iTunes needs to quality control check that one.
Get those robots under control over there.
David Bowie, the late great, not in UHF. Unfortunately, I think he would have been a great addition to the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
True.
So at Big Edna's Burger Bar, we kind of get we get a little introduction to George Newman and Bob, and we find out, you know, again, George is a bit of a daydreamer.
Right. He's been job hopping from place to place because he daydreams all the time. He's not paying attention while his buddy Bob's trying to do his actual work.
Yep.
And so then poor George starts to insult Big Edna, talking about her, and Edna just grabs the two of them. Her throwing them out of the restaurant was really great. And they just they just keep going.
Yeah,
it was super cute.
She throws them up in the air, and you hear their screams get fainter and fainter as the camera pulls
right.
back, and then they land across the street.
Yes, it's super cute.
So going into this movie, if you didn't know what kind of movie you were getting into based on the introduction alone,
right.
This follow up, you're like, okay, it's this kind of
now
movie.
Now I know where we're at.
Yeah,
absolutely. So Edna throws both George and Bob out, so now they're both out of jobs.
Yep.
So what do they do? They go to a dojo? Is that what they call it? The karate place?
Yeah, so they end up at Bob's apartment, which happens to be attached to the karate dojo.
I missed that part. Okay.
All right.
And they make themselves. We should have tried this today.
Before we get into that, we have to talk about the introduction of Cooney.
Yeah.
The sensei of the dojo.
People are coming out of the windows.
Yeah,
of the thing, and he's like, oh, is it new? Is it new class day? And they're just coming out.
We talked last week in our Kindergarten Cop review about the wave of prank phone calls that were done by radio people in the 2000s mm-hmm. with Arnold Schwarzenegger drops.
Okay.
So in radio, if you're listening to a radio station, you hear those little things between songs. We call them imaging in mm-hmm. the biz, sweepers. I used so many drops from UHF in my early radio career.
Of course you did.
Like when I had a trivia contest, if someone got the wrong answer, I had a drop of Cooney, mm-hmm. the sensei. Stupid! You're so stupid! And we will discuss more of them as the movie goes on.
That's so great.
I
wish I was a DJ on a station where I could do that.
Oh,
I don't think I could do that right now.
Probably not.
No.
No, you cater to a different crowd than
right.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we get introduced to Cooney. He will be coming back later. We go to Bob's apartment where they're drowning their sorrows with a Twinkie wiener sandwich.
Oh, God, it's so disgusting. Yeah, it's literally a Twinkie with a hot dog. What was it, Easy Cheese?
Yeah.
Cheese whiz?
Spray cheese, yes.
Oh, my God.
Would you ever try one?
I mean, I feel like no.
No.
But if we did it for here, we should have done it today. But if we did it for the, I feel like I would have to.
As big of a fan as Weird Al as I am, and as much as I love UHF,
You've never tried it?
No, I couldn't bring myself to do it.
Because you don't like hot dogs.
I hate hot dogs. In fact, Weird Al had to eat so many hot dogs, had to eat so many Twinkie wiener sandwiches,
mm-hmm.
he became a vegetarian.
Oh!
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah.
I feel like now we gotta do it.
Man. Like, I might.
Can
like,
you do it? Can you take a bite?
If it was a brat, I can do a Twinkie brat sandwich. Like, it's a.
You needy bitch.
I know, right? I'm such a diva. Like 75 streams per episode of Huntsville Home Video.
Right.
All of a sudden, I have demands. Yeah. Twinkie wiener
sandwich.
I don't
like easy cheese.
I love easy
that
cheese.
That stuff's nasty.
Oh, you put that on a chicken and a biscuit cracker? My God.
God, I do love chicken and a biscuit.
Oh, put a little spray cheese on that? My friend, you will have lived.
I was told I was a big redneck because I like chicken and biscuit crackers.
So be it.
I don't care.
Yeah.
At this point.
If loving chicken and a biscuit crackers makes me a redneck, I don't want to be a Yankee.
If that makes me attracted to my cousin, I don't give a shit.
And I'm adopted, so I can be attracted to my cousins and not feel bad.
Win-win for everybody. So they do the Twinkie and the hot dog cheese whiz, and then I believe we cut to George going home to his... Is it his house? It's a nice house, and the wife's nice.
His girlfriend.
His girlfriend. Okay.
Yep. We get to meet his girlfriend Terry.
Yes.
He has to lament to her about losing another job.
Very dramatic.
Yep.
Stupid.
Just banging his head against the wall.
Banging his head against the thing.
Oh, what's for dinner? He snaps out of it real quick.
Mm-hmm. And it's his favorite mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes, Terry. You shouldn't have.
And he's piling the mashed potatoes on the plate,
which is a reference.
I don't know what it is.
I knew you wouldn't.
Damn it.
It's a reference to Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
No, I've never seen it.
I didn't think so.
No, sorry.
It's okay.
What is? Can you tell me what the reference is?
In Close Encounters of the Third Kind, it's a Steven Spielberg movie.
Okay.
Richard Dreyfuss.
Right.
What George Newman is sculpting out of mashed potatoes is essentially the mountain, the rock formation where these aliens meet Richard Dreyfuss's character in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Spoilers for anyone that hasn't seen Close Encounters of the Third Kind. If you're on Lily's side of this podcast, the haven't seen any movies, sorry, I might have just wrecked Close Encounters of the Third Kind for
gotcha.
You. Still a pretty decent movie.
Okay.
So yeah, George, like, and that's a line that Richard Dreyfuss has
this
in the movie.
Means
he's like,
something.
This means something.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Okay. All right. Well, I didn't get that one, so I'm out one.
I'll you know, again, there's so many references that we're going to talk about that I know you're going to miss, and
okay.
It's going to be great.
Okay. So then they move along to his aunt's party. She's having, like, a dinner party.
Yep.
And he's still wearing his uniform.
Still got his Burger
his
World
Burger
stuff
on.
Yeah.
And we get introduced to his aunt, who's very supportive aunt, loves him dearly. And you get introduced to his uncle, who's a bit of a gambler.
Yeah, he's got a problem.
He's got a problem. And he gets a phone call. I'm guessing this is the Bond villain.
the
is
Big
it right?
Louie. Yeah.
Yeah, Big Louie. Is it kind of, but wasn't the, isn't that kind of how that villain was shot, like you only saw part of him, or am I just totally making that up?
In one particular Bond movie, there is
it's Blofeld, your guy, right? Or am I wrong?
Well, yeah, there was a Bond movie where they had Blofeld in it for just a brief moment,
mm-hmm.
where they shot him from the back,
okay.
like they did Big Louie in UHF, and
okay.
then they used that as like a framing device to kill Blofeld,
okay,
because they couldn't get like an actor to come back for him or whatever.
Okay.
But yeah, just a, you know, just kind of like a sinister, lurking
right.
in the dark
mm-hmm.
kind of character, this mm-hmm. Big Louie.
Right, Right. Well, I got that one. Be excited for me. Damn.
Woo!
Yeah!
Go team!
And it turns out that George's uncle has won the deed to Channel 62, which is UHF. That's what UHF is in reference to.
Correct.
And so the aunt decides that George should actually run the TV station. That'll give him a good job to do.
Yep, give him a great outlet for his creativity, mm-hmm. give him a chance to, you know, finally make something of himself.
Right. So he and Terry go to actually look at it. And first, the homeless guy... I counter. Yeah. I wish we had more homeless people like that here, because here at our station, we get visited by some interesting characters from the place next door.
We are in a shitty part of town.
The best thing is that we have random shopping carts that just appear.
It's
really great.
And sometimes they get swapped out.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed that, but yesterday, or about 3 days ago, there was a Target shopping cart. That one is gone, and now there's a Walmart shopping cart.
I think it's Sam's.
Oh, is it actually. Sam's Club?
It's Sam's,
okay.
And we had Sam's and Dollar General. The Dollar General is now behind the radio station, and the Sam's one's still there. So, shit's going somewhere. Shit's happening.
When I used to park in the back of the building, mm-hmm. I would find just random sneakers. Not a pair, but like one.
Did you know someone shit in our dumpster?
I'm not surprised.
I'm not making that up.
Again, we are in a classy part of town.
I know. Real classy.
Yeah.
One day I dropped a bunch of napkins outside because somebody ran in front of me and was like, "Do you know where Suite 107 is?" I was like, "I don't know."
Here's some napkins.
So anyways, I wish we had more homeless people like this guy, but he comes up and he asks for change for a dollar. He was like,
He
asks for change. And then, you know, Weird Al, George gives him the change and he counts it out and then he exchanges a dollar and then runs off. It was so good. That was so cute.
Just a great bit.
Yeah, great bit. So he goes in and it's like a lab with like a mad scientist. It's like, you know, all these, you know, liquids and things and the boiling, you know, the sound effects. And then I assume this is Doc Brown.
I mean,
a parody of, kind of, in a way.
Maybe.
He's not as great as Doc Brown, but.
I just chalked it up because like Weird Al likes quirky, clearly likes quirky, just odd duck characters.
Okay.
And that's like, I've never connected those two.
I think
two.
I was just trying to find the parody.
Yeah.
I think I felt like everything was a parody of something.
And,
so maybe
and,
not.
And maybe Back to the Future was fresh in your mind because you've only first seen that like 4 months ago.
True. Let's move along.
So we get introduced to Philo. He mm-hmm. is the station engineer.
Yeah.
Side note, one of the most effective engineers we've ever known.
Yep.
Because in there's a lot of parallels between TV and radio.
I was going to bring that up eventually because, especially with the ads that play.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So we, again, as we've mentioned many times, Leanne and I are by trade radio people.
Uh-huh.
Radio barely pays our bills.
Right.
and there is a lot of similarities between the TV world and the radio world.
Yeah.
A lot of those references definitely not lost on me. I assume the same for you.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
One of which being engineers. Most engineers, shit. Philo, I would murder an infant for Philo.
Yes. Oh my God, Philo would be so great for
get
this.
Get shit done.
Mm-hmm.
You say, "Hey man, can you fix this?" And it's fixed. Man.
That's a rarity.
A rarity. and I love that Philo's introduction. Philo is just a straight-laced deadpan
right.
dude. He's like, "Oh, here, hold this. I'm conducting an experiment." And he hands these two modules to George.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Oh, what are you doing?" He's like, "I'm trying to see if my interocitor can withstand a sudden shock of 50,000 volts." And then just cranks it. Just electrocutes George. And he walks back to him. Doesn't change the expression on his face. Yeah, it
worked. It worked. Yeah, it was super cute. He recruits, so we meet Philo, and then George recruits his buddy Bob to work there, and he's like, "You know, it's just like working at a fish market, except you don't have to gut fish all day." And I'm like, "Yeah, man, it is."
Uh-huh.
So he goes in, and they are instantly greeted by Pam.
Yeah.
Fran Drescher.
A pre-nanny Fran.
That's how I knew Fran.
Were you a big nanny fan?
Yeah, that was on when I was a kid.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's the secretary there. She wants to be in the news and was told her job, another parallel to radio, this job was only supposed to be temporary, and I've been here for 2 years. Not in the position that I came in here to be in.
Yeah, like radio, again, much like television, you kind of fail in a certain direction.
Right,
and it's not necessarily up.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. So then I believe, and throughout the thing, we cut to commercials and different things like that, and I believe we cut to, is this where we cut to Crazy Eddie? The Crazy Eddie commercial?
Yeah.
Which, again...
the car dealer.
Oh, my gosh. And, like, if you find a lower price, I'll club this sale! Like, it's... such radio car salesman TV shit.
So, Crispin Glover, the actor who played George McFly,
yes,
in the first Back to the Future,
uh-huh.
A quirky dude,
very
weird
odd
guy. Weird Al wanted him to be in UHF.
Okay,
and I forget what character he wanted him for, but Crispin Glover said, "I'd be interested in doing the movie only if I could play the dude that says I get to club the baby seal." And then they went a different direction, so obviously
right.
Crispin Glover not in the movie.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's great.
Right?
I love that.
I'm going to club this baby seal.
I mean it. I'm going to club him. It was really good.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was another...
is that a parody?
No, it's not a parody. Well, I suppose it's just a parody of car sales in general. But that was another sweeper that I used for radio. It's like, psh, 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 you're listening to Jack Spade. I'm going to club this baby seal psh, psh, on Rocket 95.1.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I want to do imaging for a different station. I have so many things I could use. So they're going through the station and realize that, you know, there's a lot of reruns that play on the station, and they're kind of trying to figure out what some new content would be. They're kind of discussing that when Pam comes in with a package, and it needs to go to Channel 8.
Mm-hmm. The big dogs.
The big dog. So I believe that George goes to take the package to Channel 8.
Yep, they were going to send it back, and George is like, I'll go take it over, introduce myself. And
which they keep slamming it down, and break. Yeah. You can hear it, like, the glass breaking inside of it, which was great.
And then Pam says that, probably not the best idea, dude's mm-hmm. not a nice guy, and then we smash cut over to Channel 8, where we are introduced to R.J. Fletcher.
He's ruthless, and he's pissed off. Yeah, I believe his son is one of them. They're not all his sons, but at least...
His son is one, and then he's got his little, you know, TV cronies.
Yeah, and he's missing a file. He needs a file, and he's pretty sure the damn janitor stole it.
Yep.
And in comes in, a nice surprise for me, fucking Kramer comes in. Who knew?
A pre-N-bomb Michael Richards.
Back when everybody adored him.
Yeah. Time has not been good to Michael Richards.
No.
Michael Richards has not been good to time.
No. So anyways, poor little old Kramer comes in, and which his name's Stanley. And R.J. Fletcher fires him, is pretty ruthless, throws him out, takes his mop away from him. Which
yep.
that was his mop.
It was his mop. It was given to him when he was 8 years old.
I know. That was so sad.
He really poor made little, you feel it.
Poor little Stanley and his mop. And then turns out the file was in the guy's chair the whole time, and that evil laugh and everything.
Yeah,
just a total dickwad.
They all start laughing. They fired this dude for something he didn't do, and then they all laugh about it. A lot like how actual radio and TV higher-ups do shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 We're just peeling back the layers today.
We are, man. So, anyways, George walks in with this box, and he goes, what was it, just, hey, RJ?
Yeah.
He just addressed him like, yeah, hey, what's up, RJ?
Hey, what's up, RJ?
And the whole room, the busy room of phones ringing and people typing and talking, just goes silent.
Yeah. Here comes George, you know, like, plucky, I'm a new station owner,
mm-hmm.
not knowing the way of the world, is just like, hey, George Newman, U62, I got this package for you.
Right.
And he's like, you know, RJ is like, you know, stealing mail is a federal offense. I should have you fired. He's like, I don't work here. Ah, trespassing. Eh? Just that actor is great. He was in a lot of great movies again that I am sure you've never seen.
Right.
My first introduction to Kevin McCarthy was in the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Okay.
Great flick. But he had so much fun just playing this over the top ruthless TV executive. Mm-hmm. Weird Al in an interview said that it was not uncommon after almost every take that Kevin McCarthy did, as soon as they yelled cut, he just started gut laughing.
That's great.
Because he had so much fun just chewing scenery.
That is so good. Do you know how I knew him?
Do tell.
He was one of Dorothy's boyfriends in Golden Girls.
All right.
But I feel like I've seen him other places, and he's always played like a shitty dude. Or maybe I haven't. Maybe I just thought that.
He's had a very decent career. You know, he's been in a lot of different stuff. You know, things, near his later years, he just, started showing up in this, that, and the other playing. He never really was, I don't think, typecast.
Okay.
Ever.
Well, then maybe he was kind of shitty in The Golden Girls, so maybe that's why I thought.
was he not good to Dorothy?
He was a cheater.
Oh. Well, I mean, the dude looked, I'm pretty dapper as an older gent. I mean, you got to play the field.
You do.
You don't know how many years you got left.
Right?
Player got to play.
Why not go after Blanche?
You know? Yeah.
You only live once.
I mean, Blanche always seemed a bit more freaky.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you watch The Golden Girls?
I mean, I've seen it. I don't have the reverence towards it that you do.
Right. You don't seem like the type of person.
I've watched. I can appreciate. I don't have that ironic attachment to it.
Gotcha.
That a Shocker. Person of 30 has. A person of 30 who has never seen an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
I saw Kindergarten Cop.
Until Kindergarten Cop.
We need to stop bringing that up. I don't want that.
I
don't want random homeless people to hear our podcast and come after me.
I will stop bringing it up in 2021.
Okay. All right. We'll live it up for the next few weeks.
I got three weeks left.
You have permission. George makes a mistake. The guy, Fletcher's like, you got 10 seconds to get out of here. George is leaving, and he finds Stanley.
A freshly fired Stanley.
Yeah, and he decides to hire him on to work at the TV station.
Brings him in as the station janitor.
So, I think we cut to then the mayor's supposed to have a meeting about the budget, and Pam goes to report on it. And I love this because the camera guy is who I've seen in several things, but I don't know his name, but he's a little person.
It's Billy Barty.
Okay.
That's his actor's name.
And he's the camera guy. So all the angles are from are on their way up to her, and it just looks so ridiculous. And he's trying to find his way through the crowd.
Just the very definition of this might be a college project.
Right, exactly.
This is what college television looks like.
Yeah. And I love Pam, we're here with the mayor's meeting. It was just so good.
Yeah.
But that doesn't work out very well. Because he gets tripped, the camera guy
by the
gets
dick
tripped.
From Channel 62, ugh. Just arrogant fucks.
And he says, "Don't you know broads don't belong in broadcasting?"
Such a douche move.
Douche.
So how long have you been in radio?
I started out of college, so eight years now.
Okay,
8 years.
In your time, have you ever met a radio or TV person that douchey?
Thank goodness, no.
Oh, man.
I haven't had to work. I mean, we've worked with people we've called douchebags.
Right.
But I've been very lucky because I've heard stories from, especially from other women. And I will say I have only had people who were very supportive of me and really helped me figure out where I needed to be in radio. So I've been lucky. I'm not the person to ask.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Because I have met some douche nozzles.
Right.
Yeah. Much like you say, I wasn't even thinking from your perspective, from a woman's standpoint, just from a standpoint in general, so many just overinflated egos.
Yeah,
business.
Luckily, I have met them, but not really had to deal with them too bad.
Lucky you.
Especially salespeople. Had a few doucher salespeople.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, as always.
My favorite douchebag upper management radio person that I can think of is a dude who at a remote one time met a girl and brought her back to a graveyard to bang her. While he was married.
Yeah, of course.
Good one. Yeah. Another one. So this was an interesting tale. I actually ended up working with a competing radio dude at a bar event. Where he was there for his station, I was there for mine. And, you know, just professional courtesy. You're like, hey, man, how's it going? Nice to meet you, whatever. He wasn't immediately douchey. So okay. I'm just like, okay, cool. And then because we were at this event weekly for the better part of a summer.
Okay.
And over time, we're like, hey, man, you know, like, you're all right. You know, I've heard your show. It's good. He's like, oh, thanks. I like yours. You know, we got to be like professionally friendly.
Right.
Hung out a couple times. All right. Didn't really talk shop. Just, you know, like just life in general. Right.
Right.
So one night we're at this bar event. We stayed till bar closing. We went to a second bar after that, like an after hours bar. And then about, I don't know, maybe 4 a.m, this dude is like hooking up with this chick on the dance floor of this bar.
Mm.
And I'm thinking nothing. It was like a shitty bar. Like the kind of place where, I mean, you'd want to hook up with someone in a public place, maybe not this grungy.
Okay.
You know?
Right.
Raise your standards a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then like on the way home, I'm leaving and I get a phone call. I'm like, hello? Hey, is this Jack? Yeah. Hey, this is dude's wife.
Oh, no.
I'm like, oh, hey, what's up? How are you? She's like, hey, is, and I'm not using names to protect the guilty parties.
Right.
He's like, is so-and-so with you? And I was like, no, we were just hanging out after hours at the bar. Some of us were playing cards, and I just left. I don't know. He was still there when I checked in on him. Gotta go by.
Come on. God, that's terrible.
Yeah. In hindsight, I kind of wish I could.
It.
Yeah,
you should just let it out.
I should have been like, no, he was banging some chick on the dance floor at this like really shitty bar. Like she might not have given him anything, but what was laying around those tables might have.
Right,
it was grungy.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Oh god.
So kudos to you for not having met any raging douchers like we've seen so far in UHF.
No, I haven't had to deal with that. I'm so lucky.
Good deal.
Yeah. So that happens, and I believe this is where we cut to some parody ad. Like, there's ads throughout, and we, hold on. I like this little part, these little parts. They're back at the station, and the, who's the camera guy? What was his name?
In the movie, his name is Noodles McIntyre.
Noodles. Noodles is getting treated for a scrape on his elbow, and I love that the bottle that's clearly peroxide has a paper label that says alcohol.
Yeah.
That was super funny to me. I didn't know if that was a direct parody of something, but it made me laugh.
Just a good sight gag.
Just a good sight. So then we cut to some parody ads, and this is where we have the Spatula City.
Spatula
ad.
City.
Oh, my God. Buy 9 spatulas. Get the 10th for a penny.
And what better way to say I love you than with the gift of a spatula? Yeah.
And that's literally how radio ads are.
And then we cut to the, this is Cy Greenblum,
yes.
President of Spatula City.
Oh.
I love the spatula so much, bought the company. Which a reference? Do you get that reference?
No.
That was, there was a razor company in the 80s.
Okay.
That was the guy who owned that was Remington Electric Razors.
Okay.
He liked the razors so much that he bought the company.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just love that, you know, it was such a high-paced ad, and then the manager comes in and he's all dull, which, again, I that's what. So I do production and I have to record. Like managers and people from, you know, advertisers who want to be on the air, and then they read everything like this.
Yep.
And all the deals like this. And so that's what I got a flashback to, which was great.
You get some of these business owners that come in and they're like, hey, yeah, my business is great. I love it. It's an amazing concept. I cannot wait to get on the air to talk about my business. Okay, your mic is on. My business, which is located at 217 North Parkway.
I'm sorry, 217
is the other business across. My business is at 218
yep.
North Parkway. And I mean, if you could come to visit, we would really appreciate it. Give us a call at 555-7571. 7571. All right. Okay, your mic is off. All right, so was hot fire.
You can just edit that.
Hot fire.
Yeah, absolutely. See, just those little places where I messed up, you can just take that out, right?
Yeah.
It's no problem.
This is why I don't have radio people on my ads. They can't talk about my business with the fire, with the passion of my business. Hey, man, your mic is back on. Okay, and so for Christmas, we're going to have a pre-Christmas sale where if you want to buy 9 of our amazing product, we now hear me out here. We're gonna give the 10th one 50% off. You know what? Hey, hang on. I'm slashing prices. 75% off. Is that 30 seconds? Is that 30 seconds? Do I have? Am I 30 seconds wrapped up?
Oh wait, we can't stop it yet. We need to add our website. www.http
www.
Oh, and we've been family owned and operated for 40 years. We love this community. We're a part of this community.
Cool, your mic is off. Hey, didn't you go on a racist tirade on Facebook a couple days ago? Your mic is back on. No. Here at Jerry's Ice Cream, we love all races, like Neapolitan ice cream. Come get yours at Jerry's Ice Cream. HTTP www.jerrys, JERRYS, no apostrophe, icecream.org. All right, your mic is off. Yeah, Jerry's Ice Cream, baby.
Fuck all these people. I just care about money.
We love black people.
God damn it. Oh, man.
This is going to be the most inside baseball podcast ever. I thought I came for a review about UHF, and these jagholes just started talking about all their grievances with radio.
Look, we have to get it out some way.
This is what keeps us sane.
That is so spot on and true, and it drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
I know that our friends that listen to this podcast in radio are going to lose their shit at that bit. All of our friends that aren't in radio are just going to hit fast forward.
Like, what is this?
I don't give a shit. Yeah. I want to hear about Weird Al in the UHF movie, not your bullshit.
You get that, and then you get, I had one who came in to record. He worked for a car dealership.
Club a baby seal?
No, but he smelled like vodka every time he came in. He was hungover every time. He liked me, thank goodness, but he couldn't goddamn read. And he would take 40 minutes to record a 60-second commercial.
Yes.
And it was University Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Okay, I still remember it after all these years. University Jeep. Ram, Dodge, he'd have it all backwards.
Cars. Words.
We sell cars.
They have tires.
I just want to go home and play golf.
Yeah.
You get those two.
Nice. Yep. Oh, yeah, man. We deal with some gems.
Oh, man. So after we get done with the parody ads, I believe the next thing is George now has come up with a show called Uncle Nutsy's Playhouse?
Uncle Nutsy's Clubhouse!
Clubhouse, with the live audience of depressed kids.
Yep, I love the, now, I don't know if you caught this, but I've seen this movie so many times, I see all the little nuances or whatever. Mm-hmm. When George comes out, he comes out super animated, super over the top.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, what do the kids think? And the kids are just like, he's like, hey kids, where do you want to go? To Uncle Nutsy's Clubhouse. And he's like, that's right, let's go meet the kids. And he goes over and he's like, what's your name? Billy. He's like, what do you do, Billy? And Billy just spits in his face.
Yes.
And if you watch the kid, he immediately puts his hand up over his mouth like he's just disinterested, resting on his hand. But that kid is clearly trying his hardest not to laugh his ass off.
Oh, I miss that.
It was so great. He just hocks a luge right in George's face and is like, oh, I'm going to fucking laugh.
That's super cute. Super cute.
And then Uncle Nutsy introduces us to Bobo the Clown.
Yeah, he's like, Bobo the Clown.
And when he comes in, he's like, hey, Bobo, look up, look down, now look at Mr. Frying Pan. And smacks him in the face. That was done in one take and one take only because the frying pan actually hit that actor in the face.
Oh, no.
So that expression is genuine.
It genuinely is.
Yeah. Apparently his lip got busted up a little bit, but you couldn't tell because it was, you know, like clown makeup on.
Damn.
But yeah.
Gosh, that's great. That's terrible. So that happens. At one point we go to another ad, the Plots Are Us ad, which was really great. Sloppy funeral. There's body parts just coming out of the damn grave sites, which was really great.
And the whole ad is done with that really monotone music and delivery. Mm-hmm. And the part that always slays me is like, enjoy our free salad bar.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to a shot of people in mourning just getting a fresh Caesar salad. Yeah. That kills me every time.
I died.
I want it publicly known. I want a salad bar at my funeral.
We'll make it happen.
Thank you.
We'll make it happen.
Because we both know I'm going out first.
That's what we say anyway.
Yeah.
So they're going through all the things that happen on this TV channel on UHF. And then I believe this is where we get the news bulletin. Which, isn't this awesome that you have this power? George comes over with a news bulletin to hey, it's your birthday. Why don't we take you and your parents out to eat? Love you. You know, which was super cute.
Have you ever abused your power and given a shout out to someone special like that?
No, I've not interrupted. Mm. I have mentioned things during the show, but no, I've not really abused that power.
All right.
Yet.
Give it time. Yeah, so George basically uses the TV station to invite Terry to a nice anniversary dinner.
Yeah.
And then we get some bad news from the station.
Yes. They're going over the finances, right? And mm-hmm. then they realize they're probably going to be broke in a week.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Not good.
So they're trying to...
Another thing like radio.
Right? Yeah. There's never any good news.
Mm-mm.
And if it is, it's immediately undercut by something shitty.
Right. So they're going over papers, and then this is where we get the next daydreaming sequence.
Yes.
Of
one of the best.
Yes. And it is, he's watching, what was he watching? Beverly Hillbillies.
Yep.
And then it's the Dire Straits parody of Clampett, which was really great.
They did a shot for shot remake of Dire Straits' Money for Nothing.
Yeah.
Set to the theme song to the Beverly Hillbillies.
That little Clampett got a cement pond.
That little Clampett, he's a millionaire. Now everyone's in California. It's a place that you want to be.
So good.
We got to move these refrigerators. We got to move these color TVs. Oh, my God.
It was so super funny.
Like,
so good.
At this point... Have you just become like a huge Weird Al fan?
I really loved that so much.
Like,
was that ever out before, or did he do that for the movie?
That was strictly for the movie.
Okay.
It was a video. It was released.
Okay.
He released that and the UHF theme song as a video. And of course, the UHF theme song, the video for that, just filled with parody. Like at one point, he does the Prince... Purple Rain, like, crawling out of the tub and shit like that.
Yes.
And Weird Al, he is the master of parody.
Yes.
Like, so good at it.
Uh-huh.
And the Beverly Hillbillies / Money for Nothing, that that was a perfect example thereof.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But he awakes from that daydream
mm-hmm.
And realizes, oh, shit.
It's 9:30.
I'm late for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
We got, you know, we cut to Terry waiting at this restaurant with her parents.
Yeah.
And the waiter's like, hey, do you want to order? It's like, yeah, we're gonna keep waiting. And mm-hmm. where is this dude?
Mm-hmm.
He's dreaming about the Beverly Hillbillies.
Dreaming about Beverly Hillbillies. And he goes to call. And right then the phone rings. And Terry wants nothing to do with him anymore. She breaks up with him over the phone.
Over the phone. Oh, straight dumped.
That's so bad. So then poor George is depressed. And that means that Uncle Nudsy's Playhouse Clubhouse is depressed.
He is now has the same attitude as the kids in Uncle
right.
Nutsy's Clubhouse.
Absolutely.
Hey kids, where do you want to go?
But actually, I kind of prefer this Uncle Nutsy because he yells at the kids.
Yeah, shut up, you little weasel.
Yeah. they cut to cartoon and he walks out and he tells Stanley, "Hey, do you want to host the TV show?" And he's like, I think this is when he says, "Well, can I still be the janitor too?"
No,
is that later?
Yeah, that's later, because he's like,
because
Bob is like, "Hey, you still got a show." And then George is like, "Hey, Stanley, you want your own show?"
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You're on.
and he goes out, and they go, George is like, "I need a drink." And Bob's like, "You don't drink." And he's like, "Well, I figured I'd start trying."
Or, yep.
You know, figure it's time to try. So they go into the bar.
Just this real shitty dive bar, not like a nice establishment.
Right. Is this the bar where your DJ friend fucked around with that lady on the dance floor?
The bar in UHF was much nicer.
Much nicer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. I get it. So they're at the bar, depressed, and then while they're in there, they realize that they're all watching Uncle Nudsy's Playhouse with Stanley on it.
And there is a real fun sight gag where they sit down and the bartender asks their order and Bob is like, "I'll take a beer," and then George is like, blueberry daiquiri. And he just presents, like, in this shitty dive bar, just gets presented with this this tiki glass, umbrellas and flair, like something you'd get at, you know, some like a bullshit Fridays or something. Mm-hmm. He's like, "I didn't get an umbrella."
Yes.
I've always loved that gag.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
But yes, you are correct. They are watching Stanley Spadowski's Clubhouse, and they are glued to it.
Yes.
Like, and the kids love it. And mm-hmm. Stanley is absolutely killing it on this show.
Mm-hmm. He's so inspirational. He's like, "Life's like a mop, and sometimes the mop gets dirty, but you have to clean out the mop." And people in the bar are like, "Yeah, you do."
Yeah, that's right. I'm in a bar at 11 on a Wednesday, and my life sucks. This dude is turning my shit around.
These floors are dirty as hell, and I'm not gonna take it anymore.
Which was a reference.
Oh.
It was the movie Network.
Nope, didn't know.
I hadn't seen that one. You need to poke your head out the window, and you need to tell the world I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Very, very iconic.
Okay, I've heard that before, but didn't know what it was from.
That's from Network. There you go. Another reference for you.
Well, write that one down on the list of things we need to see.
Adding it to the very lengthy list.
Lengthy, the scroll at this point. So then... he becomes a big star of the network. The phones are ringing off the hook. His show sold out for like the next month or whatever it was. And so Stanley's the big hit.
He's a huge hit.
It's saving the station.
Turning the station around.
Mm-hmm.
People
like that
love
one
him.
Radio DJ that's keeping everything held together. Your anchor DJ.
Like you?
No. I am not it. I guarantee you I'm not it. So then they work on new ideas. I love these ideas. They've got Wheel of Fish.
Yes.
Which is hosted by the karate instructor.
Cooney,
which was great. Do you want to keep the red sea bass or do you want the box?
Ah, red snapper.
Red snapper.
Very tasty.
Close enough.
Would you take the snapper or what's in the box?
I'd have taken the snapper.
Yeah.
I think that was a good call.
Yep.
The box had nothing.
Uh-huh.
You're stupid!
So stupid!
So they have that. They have Secrets of the Universe with Philo.
Which was another Jack Spade. Today, we're going to learn how to make plutonium from common household items. On Rocket 95.1.
Yes! I love that. You know, because I do it too. You gotta have the
whiz bangs.
I don't even know what they're called, but I just call them, you know, the swishers.
Swishers, yeah.
I have a whole folder dedicated to...
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah. You're not really in radio until you have folders designated for swishers.
Yeah, all you pretenders, you don't even know what's up.
If you ain't got that, then fuck you.
Hey, Leanne, where's your folder?
Oh, yeah.
It's under the folder. Oh, I got it here. I got it. Thank you.
You know, it's spelled...
Yep. We get Secrets of the Universe. My personal favorite.
It's got to be Raoul's.
It is absolutely Raoul's Wild Kingdom. Again, Jack Spade. Today, we're teaching poodles how to fly. Raul's yes. Wild Kingdom. He, this dude comes in. Now, this part is so great that I hate to bring it down on this part.
Why are you bringing it down?
Because Raul's Wild Kingdom was going to be featured more in UHF.
Okay.
But unfortunately, that actor was killed in an automobile accident.
Oh, no.
So they
during the filming of the movie?
Yeah, so they didn't get to... The movie's actually dedicated to him. Trinidad Silva is his name. But he didn't get to film because there was going to be other segments with like where he is teaching poodles how to fly at one point, and he literally just pitches a poodle out the window. And I love, he's like, today we're teaching poodles how to fly. Are you ready, Fifi? Are you psyched? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. And he throws him out the window and you just see, and then the camera smash cuts to outside and you see this poodle fall out the window and land on a pile of other dead poodles. So had he been around to film more, the poodle was going to come back for revenge.
Yeah.
We get that. We get. We find out that turtles are nature's suction cups.
Yep, he licks the turtle and throws it up, and it sticks to the damn ceiling.
You see that? It sticks. He's so happy.
That's so good. And then at one point, he's getting shipments of other animals in, and he was like, "Badgers, we don't need no stinking badgers." Which is from a movie. We don't need no stinking badges. Isn't that what was the original?
Treasure of the Sierra Madre.
Okay, I've never seen it.
Yep.
No.
But that's a line that has been parodied in...
I've seen it everywhere.
So much.
Right.
We don't need no whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ants, too. He's like, oh, they work for weeks digging these intricate little tunnels. And they get real mad when you do this.
He just shakes the damn thing like an Etch-A-Sketch.
And at one point during Raul's Wild Kingdom, we cut back to George and Bob, and they look at each other like, where did you find this guy?
Yeah.
I thought you found him.
I thought you hired him. Nope.
But this is 100% a dude that needs a show.
Oh my God, it was so good. Yeah, I wish he'd have been in there more.
Yeah.
That would have been a great idea to have him in throughout the movie.
Love Raul's Wild Kingdom.
Yeah. So also, I think they do here, they do the Conan the Librarian ad.
Yes.
A Schwarzenegger movie that I have not seen.
Flashing back to 1989, 10-year-old Jack Spade in a movie theater with his buddy Bobby, who had just been recently offered not Listerine by homeless vagrant bums. The first time I saw that bit, when he hacks that dude in half over late books,
yes.
At 10 years of age, I had never laughed harder in my entire life. In fact, I had to go see this movie again because I forgot what happened for the next 5 minutes. I was laughing that fucking hard.
Oh my God, that's great.
So funny.
That's such a believable Jack story.
Cause like at 10 years old, I wasn't ready for it.
Right.
Like you know, at 30, were you ready for it?
No, I wasn't. No, it was great. It was so good.
And then we also get a bit that I am 100% positive you would not get to make in 2020. We get Gandhi 2.
Yes. Was that Shaft?
I think it was just, a combo of Shaft and action movies.
Okay.
And you know, like we not, I don't know, it was a few years after we got the actual Gandhi movie with Ben Kingsley. I think
there's a Gandhi movie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Like, it's a biopic on Gandhi. Ben Kingsley played Gandhi.
Oh, no,
very,
I didn't
very
know that.
Serious, you know, like this is who Gandhi was. Uh-huh. And then here's Weird Al making Gandhi a Lamborghini driving.
Knows how to party.
Knows
goes
how
into the
to
club
party.
With a couple of chicks.
Likes his steaks medium rare.
Yep.
Not afraid to waste a motherfucker with an Uzi.
Yes.
Gandhi 2. No more Mr. Passive Resistance. He's out to kick some butt.
God, that's so great.
I love Gandhi, too. Again, something you would not get to make in 2020.
Damn it. I know.
Sadly.
Bunch of bitches.
But we have it, and it's on film, and it's never going anywhere until, like, Netflix or HBO Max bans it for being offensive.
Ugh. Well, you know, cartoons can't have their guns anymore.
So, correct.
You know. Yeah. So, Channel 62... is climbing in the ratings now. I believe they're number one.
Yeah, they get a letter, and Bob opens it. He reads it, and he's like, "Dude, this is the ratings."
Uh-huh.
Which, as we know, is always
it's a
stressful
day.
Time,
yeah.
stressful day,
mm-hmm.
Good or bad, just stressful. Because, like, if it's good, now you got to keep producing.
Yeah.
And then if it was good and now it's bad, well.
It's our fault.
Get your resumes
it's
out.
It's not the music changes
right.
or the other 50,000 things you change. No, it's us.
Anyway,
I'm not bitter.
We are
not bitter.
We love the career path we've chosen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No regrets.
No regrets. So Bob is looking at the ratings, and he's like, George, this is the ratings. And George's like, don't tell me we actually showed up.
Mm-hmm.
We're number one.
Yes.
And, yeah, they lose their shit.
Mm-hmm. And who else is losing their shit? That's Channel 8.
RJ Fletcher. They've been number one in this town for years.
Forever. And so now he's pissed.
And now they're losing out to a UHF station.
Mm-hmm. More turmoil on the rise
mm-hmm.
as we cut to the uncle. I believe this is where we cut to the uncle. So
yeah.
The Bond-esque villain calls the uncle while he's doing what everybody wants to do, on his float in the pool, drinking his drink, having a good time. And
side note, listening to what should have been Kung Fu Fighting,
mm-hmm.
but they couldn't get the rights to it. So Weird Al wrote a song called Let Me Be Your Hog. And that's the song that Uncle Harvey is listening to. Let me be your hog. Let me be your hog now.
And I remember hearing hog in the movie and thinking, is that right? But then I think I moved on.
Let me be your hog. It's on the UHF soundtrack. It's about a 30-second song.
Oh, that's great.
Weird Al only recorded that little bit that they needed right. for the movie.
Awesome. So the Bond-esque villain, or whoever he is.
That's Big Louie.
Big Louie. That's right. Big Louie calls in to say that the uncle's horses didn't come in, and now he owes him $75,000.
Mm.
So how is he going to – and he owes it in like 2 days.
Yep.
So then, conveniently, right after that phone call, Fletcher calls the uncle.
Who is technically the owner mm-hmm. of U-62.
Yeah, that's right. And so he – the uncle ends up selling the station to Fletcher for $75,000.
Very conveniently priced sum of money.
You know, why wouldn't you get yourself a little extra, though? Like,
right,
you know,
yeah.
Like, why, make it 100.
I mean, if you're a degenerate gambler.
Shit, yeah.
Which I might know a thing or two about.
Check out episode whatever it was.
Hi, Mom.
God.
You would ask for a little bit more.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
RJ... Uncle Louie, Uncle Harvey, Jesus. There's that gas
Big
leak
Louie,
again.
Uncle Harvey. Toast.
Toast.
You good?
Yep.
No smell toast.
Hands up, smiling, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. Okay.
Big Louie.
So Uncle Harvey is, he's going to board a plane. He's going to go complete the deal with RJ Fletcher.
Mm-hmm.
Right as this is going to happen, RJ Fletcher is at the TV station. He's taking measurements. He lets George Newman know that he owns the station now. He bought it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we cut back to Uncle Harvey's place. He's getting ready to leave. George's aunt gets a phone call from George.
Yes.
Finds out that no good son of a bitch just sold the station.
Mm-hmm.
She ain't having it.
Mm-mm. Stops him right before he gets in the taxi.
Yep.
And the uncle says, I'm going to give you the same amount of time to give me the $75,000.
Yep, so they
and
got 2 days.
They got 2 days. Meanwhile, I think this is around the time where, because this will come into play, Philo installs the camera into RJ's office.
Yep.
So that he can record the goings-on here of what's going on.
Again, what an engineer that gets shit done.
I mean...
spying on the competition?
He gets stuff done at his own radio or TV station and then moves along and does other stuff that you really didn't even ask him to do.
Crazy.
It's like a unicorn.
Again, inside baseball. To the outsiders, just, you know.
Right.
Enjoy when we talk about UHF. We hope mm-hmm. to see you again next week.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This one's for us.
This one's for us. Yes. That's the description of the whole episode.
Yeah,
this one's for us. So what they decide to do to get the $75,000 is to do a telethon.
Yep.
Which is a smart idea. They're going to raise the money. And how they do it is they plan to, for $10 a pop, you get a share into the station so that the people can own the station.
What a crazy idea.
Will it work?
I don't know.
Stay tuned. We will find out.
You radio cliche fucker. Don't touch that dial.
Don't touch it. Then, okay. What is the... Oh, okay. So hold on. So Stanley... Let's see. So they start to do the telethon, and Stanley's the big star of it.
Yep.
And he's people are coming in to raise the money. They're paying for these shares. The board's going up and up. And then Stanley gets kidnapped.
Yeah, they Channel 8 is like, oh, they're making some headway.
Yeah.
We got to take care of business.
Right.
Take the star out.
They took the star, the anchor to the station. They took him away. So George ends up going to save him. And there's this whole fantastic Rocky. Or no, not
Rambo.
Rocky. Rambo. I meant Rambo. Hold on.
Gas leak.
Rambo. Toast? No toast. So they do this whole Rambo parody, which was fucking fantastic.
Rambo is actually a movie you've seen.
I have seen it. The first one and the second one.
Okay.
There are more after that, I think, but I don't think I saw any more than that.
You got the two important ones.
I don't feel like I needed to see any more.
Right. A movie reference that you not only understood, but you've actually seen the movie.
Yay! Hooray! Also, I hated that bodysuit, though. It was so gross looking, and then it had like that sheen to it. It was really, really gross. So, you know, they do the whole taking him out as a POW, which was in the second one, and then having the helicopter and all that shit. It was really great.
Originally, Sylvester Stallone was supposed to show up as when they run to the helicopter, and they have that little sight gag of, like, you know, helicopter rides, $20.
Yes.
Sly was going to be the booth attendant.
Oh, my God. That would have been so great.
And he was all on board for it, too, but by the time they got to filming it, apparently Sly was caught up in another project.
Oh.
So
damn.
Sadly, no Stallone in UHF.
That's
that would
okay.
Have been, that would have been great.
You didn't need it, but that would have been awesome.
It really would have pushed it over the top.
I've seen that one.
Oh, shit! You saw arguably one of the shittiest Sylvester Stallone movies, and until last week, not a single Schwarzenegger movie!
Yeah!
Oh, my God. I wish. I have one wish, and that is I wish that you could see the happy dance that Leanne was just doing. Oh, it was so good. I have seen children lay their eyes on Cinderella's castle for the first time and didn't have a fraction of the glee that Leanne Foster just had having seen Over the Top.
It wasn't really that. It's just that I've seen it. You referenced it thinking I wouldn't know it. I knew it and blew your mind.
You did a little bit.
Oh.
I fully expected that sarcastic over the top to had to be explained.
Right. I know you did.
You nailed it. You nailed it.
Yes. All right. Everybody, stand up. Thank you.
Well played, Miss Foster.
Man,
well played.
It doesn't make up for all the other shit I haven't seen, but it was a good one.
It's a start.
It's a start.
We'll begin the healing process.
So the telethon, it stalls without Stanley. Stanley is being held captive by what seems like the mob. Is this Godfather?
Right.
The quintessential Italian gangster, I guess. Let's see. At some point during all this before, or maybe Stanley breaks away, is this where they have the fight sequence?
Yeah,
I'm a little shoddy here because we cut back and forth a lot to different
things.
So they have
Stanley locked away in a closet. And Stanley's such a lovable idiot.
Right.
When the guys kidnap him, they knock on the door and they say that they're pizza delivery.
Yes.
And so Stanley legitimately thinks he's just
getting pizza. Mm-hmm. He's blindfolded in the back of a car. He still doesn't understand he's not getting pizza.
Yeah. So they lock him away in the closet, and the dude just will not shut up.
Right.
And he's singing the theme song to Bonanza. He's just humming that. And
do you not like Bonanza?
And he's like, oh, guys, my blindfold came off. And the dude opens the closet door, and his blindfold's like kind of half hanging off, and he's just licking at it, trying to get it off his face, which is great.
Yes.
So the dude is like telling him to shut up. And as he's discussing this, mm-hmm. as he's telling, you know, threatening him,
yeah.
Stanley sees in the room he's being held captive behind him, the mop that was taken from him earlier in the movie, the mop that he had when he was 8 years old.
Yes. So that makes Stanley just rip his chains apart, and then they start this whole fight sequence. He uses the mop as like a lightsaber at one point, which was really great.
And then immediately trips over a bunch of boxes.
Yes. And then they're going through. He uses the stapler as like a gun. Yeah. Poor guy gets staples in his face. And then and so this is kind of like this and the Rocky parody is what's kind of going on, I think, at the same time, because
the Rocky parody.
Rambo! The Rambo parody. Because then during all this, which I love Stanley Stackey. He gets behind the doors and he's in the office of Fletcher, and he's stacking up the chairs. Yeah. Only for them to throw a chair through the window, and so it's just a mess.
Unstack everything, try to get away.
Yeah. Oh, and this is how the whole Rambo parody comes about, because they see it on the camera. George and Philo see it on the camera that's been installed in the,
the office. Yep. That's how they know where Stanley's
at. Okay, I couldn't get it tied together. So that's all happening. Then the Rambo parody happens, and he's just grunting, and he opens the door and he like yells, you know, like Rambo. It was really funny. He gets him out, and breaks him out, gets his mop, and then they go back to the telethon.
They get back to the telethon, which was it was kind of waning a little bit. They were losing money when Stanley wasn't on, and he comes back, the crowd erupts.
Right. Which we need to go back a little bit because I missed a part. We encounter the homeless guy once again.
Oh, yeah.
We encounter the homeless guy, and this time
he's in front of Channel 8.
Yes, he's in front of Channel 8, and he encounters Fletcher, and he asks Fletcher for change. So Fletcher gives him what looks like a penny, and he gives it to him. And the homeless guy's super excited. He's like, oh, my gosh! Oh,
thanks a lot, mister!
And he leaves. So you're like, okay, well, something's going to happen here. So that happened earlier. We get back to the telethon. Stanley's back. People are just got their money in hand, but we're approaching the deadline. And he's like, I know some of you like to wait to the last minute. Well, we're in the last minute.
We got Uncle Harvey at the station. Big Louie's going to be showing up any minute wanting his $75,000.
Yes. Fletcher's there. We're like at $73,000-something. And so Big Louie comes in his car, and we know it's crunch time, motherfuckers.
That was random. I loved it. Motherfuckers. I would like you to incorporate that around the office more often.
Okay.
So, you know, tomorrow when you're just like, okay, here's the spot that you requested. I put some new copy points on there. That'll be in the system tomorrow. Motherfuckers.
Yes, I will.
That needs to be a new Leanne trademark.
Okay, all right, yeah, I'm in. Perfect. I don't want to overuse it, though, but I will.
Initially, blast it out of the fucking gates.
Okay.
And then peel back a little bit.
Peel back.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You hit them with it so they know what to expect, and then you hit them with the random intervals.
That's good formula.
Yeah.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they're back at the telethon, and they've hit the deadline. Here's Big Louie. Well, then here comes in the homeless guy, and he's here with a...
So Big Louie shows up, and Fletcher's there, and Uncle Harvey's like, give me the money. He's like, no, I'm going to gloat in this for a little bit. And he gets up in front of everyone, and he starts giving like this little smarmy fucking victory speech. Mm-hmm. And while this is going on, the homeless guy approaches George, and he's like, hey, man, you got any more of them shares left? And he's like, not right now, man. And he's like, I'll take whatever you got left. And he hands him like $2,000, which is exactly the amount that they need.
Keep the change.
And George motions over to Bob. He like throws the money at him.
Yeah.
And he goes over to Big Louie to give him what Uncle Harvey owes.
Yeah.
And all the while, you know, RJ's still doing his douchebag speech.
Right.
And then George runs over to Uncle Harv, and he gets him to sign the deed to U-62. RJ's like, what's happening over here? What are you doing? Mm-hmm. Uncle Harvey just like has this great laugh, like, which is a great fuck you laugh.
Yes.
I love that laugh.
Yes, yes.
Signs over the deed. We did it! The station's ours!
Woo! And the people cheer and everybody's happy. Yeah.
And not only do we get that happy ending, we proceed to get so many more happy endings.
Right. So while he was doing his speech, Fletcher was, I believe this is when Philo put in the tape to the people about how he didn't care about them. Yeah, because that got recorded. George's girl, Terry, goes in to try to talk to him, and he gets caught on tape that he's like, ah, these people don't mean anything to me, blah, 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 blah. I hate this community, whatever. And then that's what Philo puts in over the broadcast about this guy talking about how he didn't care about the community at all.
Which I feel is a conversation that a lot of TV and radio people have had 100%. And have said.
100%. So that gets aired out there. He gets his FCC license revoked, or the FCC revokes his license.
The FCC just happened to be listening that night. They
yes.
showed up. He's like, ah, you're a little late in your license renewal. Normally, I'd let that slide, but I've been listening a lot, and you made a big impression on me.
Yeah.
Effective immediately, you're off the air. Fuck
yes.
you.
Took him off the air. Pam is there to report it, which was really cute, I thought.
Yeah.
And then Philo ends up returning to his home planet.
Yeah, we find out that Philo's a fucking alien.
He's legitimately an alien, and he beams off to wherever he needs to go. And then Fletcher gets kicked by that old lady right in the balls.
Yeah, this old lady that was watching Channel 8 when his rant about the community members
yeah.
was aired.
Mm-hmm.
She knees him in the nuts, and then right when he's down, he hasn't even recovered from the shot to the balls. Fucking homeless guy shows up and he's like, oh, you're the guy that gave me that 1929 Denver I double mint penny.
Yeah.
That thing was worth a fortune.
He went by then. And also earlier in the movie, it was Fletcher's birthday and he wanted a Rolex and his son got him a different watch, but he wanted the Rolex. So then the homeless guy's like, yep, cashed it out and I got me a Rolex.
Then I bought a bunch of shares.
Yeah, and I bought a bunch of shares. And then he gets kicked down into the mud puddle and it's just, he gets what he deserves.
The son comes along and he's the one that goes in the mud puddle.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Noodles.
That Noodles
trips him.
Noodles.
Yep. He's like, oh, did I do that? Whoopsie.
Yes.
And then, of course, much like anyone who kind of rides the coattails of their parents' success, they're a little bitch.
Mm-hmm.
When
yeah.
he gets knocked in the mud, he's like, dad.
Yeah.
So many people in the world like that. Like when I worked in the bar industry, mm-hmm. I cannot tell you how many would-be tough guys wanted to get tough. And then as soon as the bouncer went to go throw him out or whatever, they would immediately back up. Don't fucking touch me. My dad's a lawyer.
Yeah.
You little bitch.
Fuck you.
Shut the fuck up.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Here she comes. Here she comes.
No, just a little preview.
Okay.
Just a little moment.
I thought we were going to get ramped up, Lily.
No. I'm going to throw her out later on.
Motherfuckers.
So that all happens, and then it ends on another big, huge parody of Gone with the Wind.
Very impressive. I'm glad
yes,
you got that one.
I have seen that one. George and Terry reconcile, and then they do the whole, you know, after all, tomorrow is another day.
I knew she was going to say that.
And then the movie ends with the whole Gone with the Wind thing. It was super cute.
Great movie.
Yeah, I really liked it. It was
really
good.
Give it up for UHF.
Yeah.
I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I definitely enjoyed it, and I know there's probably stuff that I missed, but you know, I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, and what's great about Weird Al is the way he parodies
mm-hmm.
is, even if you don't, like you said, you don't necessarily understand the reference, it's still funny.
Right.
And for the most part, kind of timeless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because even watching this movie from 1989, you got the Conan reference, you got the Rambo, you
right.
got Indiana Jones. There are movies now, like, you know, that will do that. They'll make timely references
mm-hmm.
to things that are kind of current in pop culture, but mm-hmm. the way that pop culture has evolved, it just kind of disappears.
Right.
And you never think of it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, God, what's one I can think of off the top of my head? Like the scary movies.
Yeah.
When those came out, like one of the first things they did was parody that Budweiser commercial, the Wada.
Yes.
You know, like if you saw that movie for the first time mm-hmm. and had never had any experience, like you weren't around for that Budweiser commercial 20 years ago.
Right.
What is that?
Right. It wouldn't even really be that funny, probably.
Right.
You'd just be like, what the hell are they doing?
Yeah, but Weird Al is so great that when he parodies something, it's, you know, it's something
right.
that can be instantly
it's
appreciated
a classic,
and acknowledged.
And the parody becomes a classic. Yeah.
Again, love Weird Al.
I need to now explore Weird Al more.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Need to get you more involved in his discography.
Okay.
UHF is the beginning and end of his filmography.
I was going to ask if there were any more movies. I didn't think there were.
No, like I said, UHF didn't do that great at the box office, so it never really got a sequel. And in fact, it didn't even get on DVD till 2005.
Wow.
So it took a while to get on DVD, but once it got there, instant success.
Mm-hmm.
DVDs, much like video before that, would give movies a completely different life.
Right.
You know, UHF was that case. It became a cult classic. So many people talked to Weird Al about this movie, you know, that to the point where he was just like, I didn't realize that so many people love this movie, you know,
right.
which I think happens a lot when you get that cult classic, you know, mm-hmm. like the creator sometimes just made it. It didn't do well. They kind of forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
But this one did exceptionally well on DVD and in the years to come. And again, I borrowed you my autographed copy.
I know. Jack, I was so, I tried to be so careful with that thing. And like, I would hide, like, it was stayed in my office for a little bit, and I like hid it in my office like somebody was going to take it or like get something on it. Like, I treasured that thing so well.
I'm inspecting it right now.
I figured you would, but
pop
I don't,
this open.
I don't think I left any fingerprints on the DVD.
No,
I
DVD
might've.
Looks good. No, it looks good. Looks
okay.
good. Let me pop this out here, check outside.
Oh, God.
Yep. Good. Good.
I don't
We're
think
good.
I scratched it.
We're good.
Okay.
We're
good. All right. Good.
Autograph is still intact. You didn't try to sell it on eBay. Thank you
not.
Very much.
I did not.
Appreciate
I didn't wipe
that.
It off. I was so worried that somehow I was going to like wipe it off. Like it was just going to disappear. And like I would look at it. This is no joke because this is the anxiety that I have. I would look at it periodically and be like, okay, the autograph's still there.
All right, we're still good. We're still
it's
good.
Still okay, all right, we're good.
I got this the first time I met Weird Al.
Okay.
I'm a big Transformers fan, mm-hmm. and they used to have this a yearly Transformers convention called BotCon, and Weird Al contributed one of his songs, an original song actually, called Dare to Be Stupid, was in the original animated Transformers movie. He showed up at this BotCon, and I had a monograph, my copy of UHF. I met him again. They had a party on Paramount Studios' backlot,
uh-huh.
and he was there, and I got a chance to talk to him for like 5 minutes. Super cool guy.
I was going
to
ask.
Like, yeah.
He seemed like he'd be a nice guy.
Amazing dude. Just like laid back and gracious.
Mm-hmm.
Loves his fans. Loves talking with his fans. You know, and like I said, I got like 5 minutes with him, which is great,
yeah.
you know, at a meet and greet event like that. Chatted with him a little bit, met him again years later after a concert. His concerts, by the way, fucking incredible.
Mm.
He go like every song is a costume change.
Oh God, that's great.
He because like all of his videos are basically parodies of
right.
you know the big videos or whatever. So for Michael Jackson's Bad,
mm-hmm.
he has a song called Fat.
Right.
And he like leaves the stage for a minute, comes back in the fat suit from the Fat video. And then he'll, you know, like there'll be like a little video screen that comes down and he'll play like some of the commercials from UHF
mm-hmm.
and then come back on screen. And now he's Kurt Cobain from Smells Like Nirvana, which is a great song about how he can't understand the words to Nirvana songs.
Gosh. Okay. Now I've really got to listen.
Uh huh.
Yeah. I don't know these.
In fact, like, so as a courtesy, Weird Al will usually ask the artist for permission
right.
before he, you know, parodies their song. And he asked Kurt Cobain if he could parody Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And Kurt was like, oh, is it going to be about food? Because most of Al's songs are about food. And Al was like, no, it's actually going to be about how I can't understand Nirvana songs. He's like, I love it. Do it.
That's great.
Do it. Yeah.
That's great.
So if you loved UHF
mm-hmm.
enough to maybe even give it like a second viewing,
yeah.
you would absolutely adore Weird Al's videos,
okay.
his songs. You'll eventually get to my point where when you hear Coolio's Gangster's Paradise on the radio, you immediately bust in, as I walk through the valley where I harvest my grain, I take a look at my wife and realize she's very plain. But that's just perfect for an Amish like me. You know I shun fancy things like electricity. We've been spending most our lives living in an Amish paradise. I churn butter once or twice, living in an Amish paradise. I love Weird Al.
You know what? I can tell.
Yeah, just a little bit.
I didn't know we were going to get to this, just but I'm glad we did. Oh,
good
that's,
stuff.
That's my favorite part of today.
Busting out some Amish paradise.
Yep, Amish paradise.
So we UHF. I'm gonna give it. I give it two flying poodles. Two flying thumbs up poodles out of two.
Out of two?
Yeah. Because there's only two.
There's only two. I will give it. I'll give it two.
You give it two.
I'll give it two.
Two
yeah.
thumbs up.
I'll give it two thumbs. Yeah.
Two
well,
flying.
Yeah, okay. Wait. Okay. I'll give it 1.5 flying poodles because I didn't get all the references.
Fair.
So
that's fair.
Yeah. So 1.5.
I'll give it
one
five,
and three
five suction cup turtles out of five.
I'll give it 4 suction cup turtles out of five.
That's fair. It's a fair review.
Say that 5 times fast.
Nope.
Suction cup turtles.
Did you think that was a phrase that was going to come out of your mouth when you woke up today?
Ew.
So next week we are in the holiday season.
Yes.
We've already decided that we basically have 2 more episodes before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
We've decided that we are going to be reviewing a Christmas movie, kind of a non-traditional Christmas movie on Christmas.
Yes.
We'll talk about more of that next week.
Mm-hmm.
But next week, what should we review? Should we keep it Christmas themed?
I think we should keep it Christmas themed, but offbeat.
Offbeat
like
Christmas
offbeat.
Theme. Okay, so like kind of like the Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? Like something
sure.
like that?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want something? God, because we could go so many ways, and I know what we're reviewing for Christmas, so I want to do something kind of opposite to that.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you want something kind of like grisly for Christmas?
Yes.
Like, is there a Christmas?
Yes, because I want a horror movie. So let's do like a grisly Christmas movie.
Okay.
I don't know any of them.
Oh man. I'm potentially setting myself up for disappointment here.
Oh God.
Please tell me that you have seen Gremlins.
I will tell you.
Oh shit.
That I have not.
Damn it! You made me hit my head so hard on the table that our ornaments fell off, and
I don't know where he went.
Oh man!
Are you okay?
No!
You flattened the brim of your hat.
I think I might have given myself a concussion.
Now, do you smell toast?
No, I can barely see straight. I hit my head so hard.
You know what? I'm glad you did it to you and not to me.
Thanks.
No, I've never seen the Gremlins. Or Gremlins. The Gremlins?
Just Gremlins.
Just Gremlins? No, I've never seen just Gremlins. I feel like it's a movie I would like.
Yeah.
But I've never watched.
Yeah, it probably is.
I'm sorry. I know they were real puppets.
Mm. Arnold Schwarzenegger isn't in it, so, you know, there should have been a chance you've seen it.
Just when I think I'm going to get rid of the this bitch text, you hit your head. People are going to go insane.
You have seen
I'm
over
so
the top.
Sorry. I know. What up?
I'm putting my hat backwards like in Over the Top right now in case I slam my head on the table again.
I've seen Over the Top, motherfuckers.
Motherfuckers. Oh. Jesus wept.
So anyway,
so
I
next
guess it's Gremlins.
So next week, we'll be introducing Leanne Foster to the Christmas classic, The Gremlins.
I didn't know it was a Christmas classic.
It's one of those movies because I feel like the Is Die Hard a Christmas movie has become so passe of a conversation right now. Like, everyone brings it up thinking they're clever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, first off, yeah, it's a Christmas movie, all right? It's a Christmas-themed soundtrack, takes place at a Christmas party. Fuck you, it's a Christmas movie.
Okay.
There's a Santa hat, dude has a machine gun, he says, ho, 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 I have a machine gun. Christmas!
I will go with you on that.
But it gets brought up so much now that it's like those people that love bacon so much that they have ruined it for everyone else.
Right.
Shut the fuck up. I get it. Bacon is all right. pump the fucking brakes, right. Check your cholesterol,
yeah,
and have another conversation. But then there's movies like all of the Shane Black movies, because mm-hmm. he loves Christmas, loves setting his movies at Christmas. Mm-hmm. There's Gremlins. You get into the horror movies like Krampus. There's a wintry movie called Jack Frost. Not the the fun Michael right. Keaton one, mm-hmm. the horror one. Where,
I haven't seen that one.
Where Shannon Elizabeth gets raped by a fucking snowman.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, by a snowman.
That can't happen.
That's a movie that happened.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Mm. There's movies like that. The Gremlins is a movie that takes place during Christmas.
Okay. Well, I will be honored to watch it.
Yeah, you will.
I'm so sorry.
And we will talk. Well, in hindsight,
this is what we're here for.
I knew what I was getting into when I took you under my wing,
right.
And tried to educate you into the world mm-hmm. of great cinematic experiences. I knew going into this that you had not seen a lot of very popular movies from years gone by. But every now and again, something just sneaks under the radar. That will just, I mean, take a year or two off my life.
I'm so sorry.
That just, it hurts a little bit.
Oh, I'm adding years to my life. You're getting rid of them.
I mean, yeah, my best years have long since passed, so right. I'm good here. I'm good. I'll just pass along my movie knowledge to you. 10 years from now, you can pass it on to someone else.
I think this is what's keeping you here. So all right. It's a good thing. So look at it as a good thing that I haven't seen these, and we keep adding to the list, which is adding to your hourglass of time while you were on this earth.
All right.
You cannot shed your mortal coil while we are working on this.
Fair.
Okay?
Fair enough. Eventually we'll run out of movies, and you know we'll hit like five in a row where you're like, oh, I've seen that. I've right. seen that. I've seen that. I've mm-hmm. seen that. Hey, did you hear Jack died yesterday? No! It's all my fault!
I'll carry on your legacy.
In 10 years, if we're still doing this podcast and I'm senile and I forget shit,
yeah.
I'm like, hey, have you ever seen, because I had injuries to my head.
From today,
which probably in 10 years will cause memory loss. Hey, Leanne, have you ever seen The Gremlins? You don't remember when we reviewed that? Did we review that? I mean, no, we right. didn't review that.
Right.
Because, you know, again, mm-hmm. this is keeping me here.
Oh,
so
man.
Next week, we're going to do kind of back-to-back Christmas movies mm-hmm. to celebrate the holiday season.
Everybody get excited for the holidays. I know, me too.
Right.
The more I watch The Grinch, the more I am The Grinch. It's really sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not even 2020.
No, it's just life.
Just, yeah.
Yeah.
Just, ugh. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. So we'll lift your spirits with a creature feature featuring some Christmas monsters. So many fun facts I'm ready to share with you next week about
okay.
the Gremlins.
I'm ready.
I'm excited for it. So we will be back next week. In the meantime, you should give us a like, give us a follow on the social medias, or as I suppose you would say, the social meds. Is that how you would abbreviate that?
You know what? I never thought about abbreviating it that way, but now you can bet your fucking ass that I will say social meds from now on.
You're welcome.
Follow us on the social meds, HSV Home Video.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can also hit us up at huntsvillehomevideo.com. If you're going to be doing any traveling this holiday season, I would advise you to not, because we are in a global pandemic. But if you do,
yeah.
and you're sitting in that long layover just breathing in the Rona, you should listen to one of our previous episodes.
Go
subscribe at huntsvillehomevideo.com on Apple Podcast, on Spotify. Listen to some of our reviews that Leanne has not seen, that she has now seen, mm-hmm. and that her life has been enriched for.
And remember, we're on all the social meds.
All the social meds, motherfucker. Until next week, my friends, be kind and rewind.
Motherfucker.
Motherfucker.